This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our worship today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's program will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. The Bible challenges us today with these words, "Be still and know that I am God." Is it possible for us to take this counsel seriously in such a busy day as ours? We'll talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we busy our lives in sundry ways, with good things and perhaps some that are not so good. It's in the midst of this turmoil that we turn to your word and we read, "Be still and know that I am God." Father, we confess unto you that so often your word does not have top priority in our lives. It can be pushed out so very easily. Help us to see today that there can be no growth unless we listen to what you are saying to us. Then give us the grace to take your word seriously. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the 46th Psalm. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and though the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose stream makes glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. God lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolation he has brought to the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters a spear. He burns a shield with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. The Bible challenges us today with these words, "Be still and know that I am God." And I ask the question, is it possible for us to take this counsel seriously? We live in a pretty busy world. Our schedules are really full. People of all ages sing the same chorus, "We are so busy." And it seems that we almost feel guilty when we don't have much on our appointment book. I sometimes look at mine and find that there's a week where I have several open spaces. And so I begin to wonder right away, what can I fill up these spaces with so that my day is profitable? Could it be profitable if we just were quiet and sat and listened? Well, there is one who would encourage us to make this word of God, "Be still and know that I am God," seriously. And that person's name is Martin Luther. And since this is Reformation Sunday, I think it would be well for us to take a little time to apply that word to our lives. God's voice will change your life if you will let him speak to you on a consistent basis. That's what Martin Luther found. When people asked where his strength came from, he would often go back to Psalm 46 that I have just read. And he'd say, "God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in trouble." That had almost become his theme song. And so one day he sat down and he wrote that great hymn that we have already played this morning, that great hymn that has reached into the hearts of so many of us and given us great moments of joy. "A mighty fortress is our God." And then you come, you know, to that last stanza, and I quote it quite often. "What though they take this life, goods, honor, child, and wife? They have no lasting gain. Their hatred still is vain. We still possess the kingdom." In other words, God has become the refuge and the strength. Now, how then did God work so effectively in the life of this young man? Who was Martin Luther? I imagine that that name becomes less and less known as the years go by. There was a time when Luther was studied very carefully as one of the great figures of history. Today, in many of our schools, that is not permitted. There was a day when I would go into one school after another around this time of the year and talk to the kids about the Lutheran Reformation. I have not had an invitation like that for a long time. I imagine it is because of the separation of church and state. So let me ask you the question, who was Luther? He was a man who could be defined in this way, one who had a brilliant mind and a troubled soul, one who knew a great deal about God, but had no peace with God. And so in 1505, Martin Luther entered the monastery. There he felt he could go to confession, and every time he sinned, he could lay it before God, and then cry out to this righteous and holy God and ask him somehow to forgive him. He was only 22 years of age, and a lot had transpired in his life since he first came into this world. In 1505, he was in the monastery, but prior to that, he had earned his B.A. degree. And then later on, in 1512, he earned a Doctor of Theology degree. He went out to teach at the University of Wittenberg, but there was no peace in his soul. His mind was filled with facts, and he knew everything that was to be known, he thought, about this God from the standpoint of the Scriptures. However, he yet had to meet him. He had to meet him as the God of grace. He had to meet him as a person who offered him salvation by grace alone through faith in Jesus Christ. He had to come to that verse in Scripture where it says, "And the just shall live by faith." It was only then that he could be at peace with God Almighty. And so it's a very interesting study of this man's life and how, because of his work, I imagine we have to say, he had time to be alone with God. In the monastery, Luther went to confession so often that they told him not to come back until he had something to confess. Somehow or other, he had to find peace with God. All the knowledge did not seem to do the job. He was a restless spirit, restless. But finally then he came to the University of Wittenberg and he began to deliver lectures on the whole book of Psalms. That's where he got acquainted with this 46th Psalm that I have read for you today. When he got done with that, he went and developed a series of lectures on the book of Romans, delivered them to his students. Following that, he went into the book of Galatians, and there he learned once again about God's grace. But it wasn't until one day at his work, he sat with that first chapter of Romans, verse 17, "And the just shall live by faith." God had promised him, "Be still, and you'll know who I am." There he was in his study at Wittenberg. There he was still. The world was shut out. And God, through the inspired word, said to him, "And the just shall live by faith." That's it. The human being does not earn his way into heaven. It is a gift. It comes to him because Jesus Christ has suffered and died at the cross. He has paid the price for the sins of the world. And those who trust in him as their Savior and Lord are his forever, both while they walk on this earth and then when they get to die. Then they will go to heaven. All of that because Luther was still and realized that God was a God of grace as well as a God of righteousness. But the grace was what reached out to him on that day. And so we have the great teaching of the evangelical church that man is saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. There are so many of us that have had to battle to come to that understanding. My own soul as a young man was tortured by this idea that while Christ had done most of it, I still had to do some of it, and there was no peace. I shall never forget that day when I realized for once and for all, on the basis of Scripture, that Jesus had done it all. And all that I had to do was trust him. As I preach to you today over the radio, I pray that there may be many of you who perhaps are still wrestling with this, that I've got to earn my way into heaven, that I will probably have to struggle hard and long, will only come to understand, no, you can work and work and work and try to develop your ethics and everything else that goes along with it to find a favorable place in the eyes of God. But it will be of no avail, not until you, by the grace of God, have come to Christ and he is yours, the one who takes away the sins of the world. You know, it's a marvelous thing to visit with people about this great truth and how it really can come to bring peace to the wounded soul. Only a short time ago, I was sitting in a hospital with a woman who had just been given some rather torturous news. Her health was not good, and she was visibly upset, as any person would be. Death is not easy to be confronted with at any time in life. And so I took out this passage of Scripture, and I read it to her, and I went over verse by verse by verse, and finally I came to this great verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." And I said, "Here we are. We're in this hospital room." And the nurse came in to do something, and she saw that I was ministering to that lady, and she graciously gave us time to be alone and to be quiet. And as I expounded to her the word of God, God is telling you this: I'm with you. I'm your God. This is sad news. It's a part of living. But if you'll only trust me, I'll give you strength to endure it to the very end. And when that end comes, I will be with you forever in the kingdom of heaven. You could just feel the burden lift. You could just see that there was a rejoicing, that there was a strength, there was a peace that was not there prior to our devotion together. Is that a once and for all fix it? No, it isn't. It means that we have to live with that truth. And that's why it takes us time every single day to be alone with God and to come back and to listen not only to this verse, but many other verses in Scripture. And as we listen, his voice becomes so clear to us that we know this is our Heavenly Father. So for Martin Luther, he found his peace in the Scriptures that revealed to him the God who loved him. It was also in the Scriptures that he got the power of his convictions to remain true to the teachings of the Bible. When Luther finally got to that place where he knew now that on the basis of God's holy word, his salvation was in Jesus alone, he wanted the world to know it. He realized he had suffered all of this spiritual turmoil, partially because the church that he had attended had not proclaimed the gospel as it was recorded in the Bible. And this led him to difficult days. Yes, Jesus had died for him. Luther knew that. You can be sure he had learned that. But what he had not learned was that he could contribute nothing, that salvation was completely by grace alone. And so he was forever trying to find out what he could contribute in order that he could find peace with God. That led him through some very, very difficult days. But when he found that great truth, he put down 95 theses and he nailed them to the Castle Church door at Wittenberg. I will never forget the day that I stood in that very spot and thought back on what must have happened when Brother Martin nailed those theses to the Castle Church door and they were to be debated. He was 38 years old, and there he stood, there before Almighty God. But this was then to become the beginning of some very, very difficult times. He was challenging the church. And the church, not only in the 16th century, but the church in every century, needs to be challenged on the basis of what the Word of God has to say. And so finally, without time to really get into the detail, Martin Luther was led before the princes of the church and the head of government. And there was a man by the name of Eck who had brought Martin to Worms, Worms, Germany. And there he was being interrogated, and there he was being tried. And John Eck finally one day said, "Martin, how can you assume that you are the only one to understand the sense of Scripture? Would you put your judgment above that of so many famous men and claim that you know more than they all? You have no right to call into question the most holy Orthodox faith, instituted by Christ, the perfect lawgiver, proclaimed throughout the world. I ask you, Martin Luther, candidly, do you or do you not repudiate your works and the errors which they contain?" And then Luther, after some time of quietness, and I believe prayer, turned to him and he said, "Unless I am convinced by Scripture and plain reason, I do not accept the authority of popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other. My conscience is captive to the Word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. God help me. Amen. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise." There is a person who had the strength of his conviction. This is what God's word had revealed to him, and on that word he would stand. Why must I take time out if I really want to be a child of God in the full sense of the word of maturity? In order that I might have that conviction, that I might not be expounding a philosophy of my own, but that I may know that what I have to say comes on the basis of the Word of God. These are the kind of people that we need in our society, friend. People of conviction, in business, in academia, in government, and in the church. The church always needs to stand in sight of a reformation. We say we live in a new culture and we have to adjust the faith to culture. Where do you find that in Scripture? It is not there. In fact, the opposite is there. My word is truth and it shall last forever. We need today, as never before, I think, we need a clergy. We need a laity who have the power of their convictions, which is based not on some philosophy, not on some present-day culture, but on the Word of God. But such conviction comes only if we take seriously these words that I send with you today. Just be still and know that I am God. Oh, there's so much that we could talk about here, but time does not permit. How can I find the time to be alone with God daily? It takes some discipline. It has to say, "You have my priority number one, God." It might mean getting up a little bit early in the morning to let Him feed your soul. Breaking in sometime during the day. We find time to eat, and that's important. We must find time to be fed spiritually. And so the psalmist said, you want to grow spiritually? You want to have peace? Be still and listen to His voice. He is God. Amen. Be Holy Spirit, we pray that you will give us strength to discipline ourselves in such a way that we will take time to listen to your voice. For then, O God, we realize that we have that peace which passes all understanding, and then we have that grace and power to resist the temptations of our day. Help us to realize, O God, that it is only when that relationship with you is strengthened that we can live victoriously in our day. In our Lord's name we ask it. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that today's gospel message will guide and comfort you in the week ahead. As a nonprofit ministry, we depend on your financial support to buy airtime on stations throughout the country. We thank you for your diligent prayers and generous gifts. October is calendar month at Christian Crusaders. We would like to send you a free 2005 calendar. The nature calendar features beautiful four-color portraits of spectacular scenes in the United States, with a different Bible verse for each month. To receive your free calendar, just call or write. We will need your name, mailing address, and the station where you hear Christian Crusaders. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. A gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Waterloo-Cedar Falls, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Today's service is also available to be heard or read on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 69th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.